tonight I want to talk about noticing in practice, because I say this a lot and people get annoyed with me. I say, well, notice this or notice that. And it's funny, you know, when people start to meditate and they're told, basically, watch the breath. Just watch as the body breathes in and breathes out. And that's it. And they complain because it's boring. Or the other side of that complaint is that they can't stop thinking. And it's really frustrating. Because for some reason they've got the idea that you're not supposed to think at all while you're meditating. And that would be frustrating and make you crazy. So actually, you're just supposed to notice when you're thinking and then do something about that. You know, and that's basically all that practice is. It's just noticing what your mind is up to. And like herding cats, try to get it to behave a little better. So most people get over that initial, you know, I can't do this, watching the breath is too hard phase. And just, I don't know, it could be months, it could be years, but they get to that point where they're familiar with it. It's a comfortable thing to do. And they've actually started liking meditation. And then they hear teachers say, connect with how your body feels. Or notice when you have desire or aversion to something. And they complain then about, well, I thought I wasn't supposed to think. And the irony, of course, is that there are complaints, their questions, is exactly the kind of thinking that foolish teachers have meant when they said, try not to think. Try not to get lost in the thought, not to give yourself over to it. And definitely, it's so easy to overthink this practice and make it difficult when it's really pretty easy. The really important thing about the practice is to let go of your concerns about doing it right. It's not about doing it right. It's just about doing it. However you do it, is what you're supposed to be doing. And you'll notice when what you're doing isn't working for you, and you'll adjust it. It's kind of a natural process. And basically all we're doing is noticing what comes up. Try to pay attention to the breathing or a mantra or a mandala or whatever. And when something interferes with that, just notice what it is. Notice how it affects you. There's a sense of ease that comes from understanding what we can and cannot control. I love the old saying that if you can't do anything about it, why worry about it? And if you can do something about it, do that. There's just no point in worrying. It's really liberating to accept what we can't control. And that's actually almost everything, really, when you think about it. We can't control the weather. We cannot control the thoughts or actions of other people. Try as we might, I know many people who have devoted their entire lives to doing that and have had no success at all. And yet they are still working at it. And then there's our own subconscious, which is just this, I don't know, it's sort of like, you know, I have the image of this tower and we're up at the top and down there there's all this grumbling and these forces that kind of waft up and affect us in ways that take us by surprise. Our subconscious, our little monster collection down there. But the one thing that we can control, although it sometimes it takes a little practice, is our attention. We can control what we pay attention to. And that's just that simple trick. When we've started out doing awareness of the breathing, and we realize that's not what we're aware of. We're aware of something that happened 10, 15 years ago, some story that has wafted up from the subconscious and taken over our attention. And when we realize that, when we notice that, we bring the attention back to herding the cats of our minds. And being able to do that helps a lot. It gets us out of these situations where our mind is tormenting us over something. And we're able to change the channel. What a great relief. You know, to just say, no, I'm not going down that road again. I've suffered over that story enough. And once we have control of our attention, then there are all of these things that we begin to notice going on in our minds and our hearts. The Dharma is all about what there is to notice that can benefit us to learn about it. But it isn't a postdoctoral survey course. You know, we don't have to learn everything. We don't have to notice everything that is in the suttas. None of us are going to live that long, for one thing. I mean, it's immense, the body of learning that's in the Pali Canon. But even if we could, we're not supposed to notice everything. What we're supposed to pay attention to, basically, is now, this moment. What is arising now? Now, there are practices to focus on various aspects of the mind. And they're laid out like a smorgasbord for us in all of the scriptures, the suttas. And it's up to us to choose which ones we want to learn, which ones we want to work with. There are retreats that focus on one or another of these practices. One that is often taught at retreats is what Deb covered last week about being aware of the body through the four elements in very material terms. Investigating, noticing what it is to be an embodied awareness. And another one, I spent a month working with the kalesas, or the three poisons of greed, hatred, and ignorance, and then working with them. It was a grueling month. I was really glad when it was over, because it's all about suffering. You know, how do I suffer? And boy, I wouldn't even be done interrupting one form of suffering before another set in. All of the practices, all of the things that there are for us to notice in the Dharma can be daunting. And that's counterproductive, because what we need to do with our practice is to relax around it and incorporate a sense of ease into all of this noticing that we're doing. So I urge you to accept, take it on faith, that all you need to practice is right here, right now. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to go watch yourself suffer for a month. When we don't trust the sufficiency of this moment, it makes us uncertain. It makes us doubt. It's the same as watching the breath, really. I mean, eventually, the thoughts will still, and it becomes delightfully easy. I'm sure you've all had that experience at least once, where, I don't know, maybe the last 3 minutes of a half hour sitting, it just falls away. And it's delightful to just rest on the breath. Just be with the body as it does this energizing thing to keep us alive. My image for noticing what arises on a moment-to-moment basis is taking a walk in the woods. Now, it's a big part of my practice. I spend about every third week in the summer, in the middle of the week, when I don't have any teaching commitments, going up into the mountains and camping and just noticing, just being with my internal experience and the external experience. I have my favorite hiking trail that's behind a high mountain lake where very few others go. And so it's kind of secluded. It's the sort of thing that is good for practice. And the trail has just enough challenge to it to keep my attention so that I don't stumble and fall and trip and stuff. So at first I notice my body and how it feels for the legs to move, the arms to do their little balancing act, and then notice the air on my skin. Usually there's a little bit of a breeze, the shadows from the trees, and the sun too. I'll go through an area where there is no shade, and maybe I'll get thirsty. So just all of that that goes on internally, just on the physical plane, and then my awareness will expand. And I'll begin to notice the weather, the clouds. There's some beautiful mountains in the distance that I can see from across the lake. And the clouds will drift by. And then I notice the plants. and the animals. God, they're so wonderful. I mean, I got to say something about these courageous plants because the undergrowth is dense. And then this little tiny lily will stick its brave little head up. And the animals, mostly they're up, especially when a human being is walking along. They're up in the trees and they're scurrying around. Chipmunks trying to steal whatever food they can get or, you know, soft things they love. I once saw a chipmunk with its cheeks so full of cotton packing, and it was trying to get more in. And the more I notice, the more I recognize. I know what I'm looking at. And this is the basic principle of noticing practice and basically all learning. I have always been fascinated by raptors, birds of prey. And when I'm on these hikes, I'll notice the osprey. They're fishers. They eat nothing but fish. And then sometimes there'll be a bald eagle because the bald eagles are coming back. And it's really thrilling to keep seeing them. There was another lake once. I was sitting and just, you know, meditating on being there. And I saw this young osprey fishing. Probably was 1 year old or so. And a bald eagle flew in. And the osprey will share a lake. But this guy didn't want to. He wasn't, not for an eagle. An eagle will eat anything. And so I don't know, it makes sense that the osprey would be a little defensive. So this eagle had tattered feathers. It was much bigger than the osprey. And what they do is they will challenge each other. They'll present claws. And then they'll usually fly away. Well, these guys went at it, and they did that amazing thing where they connect their claws and they twirl around. And then one of them will fly off. Well, they both do, but one with enough force to make him think better about messing with the osprey. The osprey won. And I was so thrilled with that. You know, I could have been reading and not seen a thing. And that's one of the most fun things I've ever noticed was this eagle and osprey fight. The Dharma is all about stuff that we can notice. I was thumbing through the Majjhima Nikaya, you know, I noticed all of these practices and they all have benefits. And then there are the practices of the Mahayana and the Tibetan tradition. And I use some of those. One of this, the sort of open awareness of everything is a Mahayana practice of just noticing whatever is coming into your awareness in the moment. So I'm sure you've heard of it before. A good starting place, if you want to go to the suttas, is the Satipatthana Sutta, the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. It's usually stripped way down for presentation, even at a long residential retreat. When you read the sutta itself, it's amazingly dense what there is to notice. There, it tells you to, you know, notice the body from the inside and the outside. And part of the outside is that the body decays. This body is not only temporary, but it's gross. And so it instructs you to go to the charnel ground and sit next to the decaying bodies. Every time I teach it, I say, well, you know, you can just watch CSI or geez, even Grey's Anatomy. the more you know, the more you let the suttas tell you what there is to notice and why you want to notice it, the more you do notice. It's just like my interest in raptors. So it's important to take a relaxed approach and adjust your field of vision, your awareness, to a breadth that's comfortable and appropriate to what you're investigating. You know, if you're investigating the breathing, it's going to be a very narrow field of awareness. If you're investigating what it's like to walk around a lake, it's going to be much, much broader. But I think the most important is to approach the practice of noticing not as a chore, but as just a delightful exploration of the present moment, just like a walk in the woods. Thank you.